Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome what I would probably call a quintessential entrepreneur, Mr. Devesh Chawla from India. Devesh, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Devesh is the founder and chief executive officer of Chatur Ideas, which is a one-stop shop for startups. And for those of you who don't understand Chatur, it means clever. So it is clever ideas. Devesh has been awarded, recognized, and felicitated several times, and he's a well-known speaker. So Devesh, today we'll talk about Chatur Ideas and startups. Tell me about Chatur Ideas and your motivation to start it.
So Chatur Ideas is basically a startup enabling platform among the top five in the country today. So we have worked with over, say, 1,100 startups and have close to 1,500 investors from India and US put together. So primarily what we do is we help startups scaling up. We help them in fundraising. We help them reaching out. We have acquired a company as well, which is called as Nurture Talent Academy, the first institute for entrepreneurs started by an IIT IIM alumnus. With that, we have trained close to 1 lakh entrepreneurs across 125 plus cities and 1,000 plus institutes.
Wow.
So basically, it's a combination of mentoring startups, helping them fundraise, and training young entrepreneurs across the country. So that's what Chatur Ideas is all about. How did I start? So this goes back to way back to 2009, when I freshly graduated out of my MBA, and I wanted to start something on my own, which was very similar to what Ola Cabs is doing today.
Mm-hmm.
At that point of time, I had no one to reach out to, no idea. I don't come from a business background, so didn't have folks around, you know, who could actually give me some guidance on how to run business or how to have a startup.
Mm-hmm.
Ecosystem wasn't developed that time. So the best thing I did was I got hold of a friend who knew a lot of guys who were in the tours and travel business.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, let's start meeting these guys and share my idea. So I shared my idea with them. I said, this is what I wish to do. I'm breaking even in 9 months. And then I'm seeing 100% growth on growth, year on year growth with a very conservative projections.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really impressed. They were like, this is really great. You're actually changing the entire way things would function.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, it's a good idea, but you know what? You should stay out of this, because currently the way cabs work in India or in Mumbai for that matter, there's a huge cartelization.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of manpower, muscle power that gets involved. There's a lot of nexus between the politicians and the mafia that takes care of all of these things. It's like you're too young to understand this dynamics, and you should stay out of it.
Mm.
And that guy actually had around 400 fleet of cars under him. So I thought, you know, he's the right kind of guy that I should work with.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, you know, this is not fit for you. Don't get into it. So being young, that point of time, I told my friend, you know what? I think he's just scared of my idea. He does not want me to grow. So let's talk to somebody else.
Mm.
So we reached out to somebody else who had 250 fleet of cars under him.
Mm.
And apparently that day when I went to his office, his cabin was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him that. So he listened to my idea. And then he asked me, do you see my cabin broken today? I'm like, yes. He's like, last evening, one of my drivers had a spat with the local political party. Guy, and they just came and they broke my office. But he's like, you know what, this is pretty normal in our business. He's like, they're broken today, tomorrow I'll go and break their office, I'll get this rectified in 3 days. So he's like, you know, this is a normal part and parcel. You seem to come from a nice family, you will not be able to manage all of these things, so you know, you just stay out of it. So now that really took me aback. I said, you know, second person saying that, I didn't give up easily. I took another 4-5 attempts, which is actually very less number of attempts if you really go to see. But everywhere the response was negative. So I thought, maybe I'm not meant for it. I went and picked up a nice cushy job, was into wealth management, managing ultra HNIs and investing for them across asset classes in India and overseas. So I was really happy. One of the youngest private bankers, drawing a handsome salary, managing the creme de la creme of the country. Life couldn't get better. And then in 2013-14, I see Bhavesh Agarwal, who is the founder of Ola Cabs, enters the 1,000 crore club. And that is something that broke me down. And I said, you know what? He's similar age group, similar education, similar idea, not the same though. He has created an enterprise which is valued at 1,000 crores. and I'm still stuck here. Maybe this is not meant for me, or there's something that's wrong. There was a problem that I saw, and I thought, can I create a solution? So at that point of time, I thought, why don't I create an ecosystem where I can get mentors, entrepreneurs, investors all together? Had no idea again about what I'm getting into, just an idea that I wanted to solve this problem. So I reached out to my cousin, who at that point of time was heading the incubator at ISB Hyderabad. So I told him about my idea. So he said, you know what, Devish, there are a lot of people doing this, but in bits and pieces. What you're thinking is pretty holistic. So give it a shot. So for me, it was like, you know, I needed some moral support this time. Somebody saying, okay, Devish, go ahead. So I said, let me do this. But again, once bitten, twice shy. So didn't want to quit my good paying job. So I spent my evenings with entrepreneurs, trying to get them connected to mentors, connected to the investors. Spent a couple of years. And when I was confident I could build something like a pseudo Chatur Ideas, I went back to the office and said, you know what, I'm putting down my papers. I'm starting my venture. And that's how the venture started off. And that's where we are today. It's been more than 7 years now.
Amazing. And I sincerely hope that you're well on your way if you haven't exceeded the 1,000 crore club already.
Not yet.
Okay. But, you know, one of the challenges that a lot of entrepreneurs face, and I've been through the same entrepreneurial journey. I started my entrepreneurial journey at 46.
Okay.
You know, I would love to understand what have been some of your challenges as you have built Chatur Ideas into such a large and a force in the ecosystem of startups.
So there are a couple of things that, you know, I would like to talk here on. One is a personal challenge that I faced, and one is a challenge that any startup may actually face. The personal I faced was, which when my boss told me at that point of time, was that, you know what, Devish, you're pretty young to start something like this. It's like people who are actually running such kind of ventures are at least in their early 50s, if not the late. So it's like, you know, you're too young, people won't take you seriously. And somehow that worked in my favor, because what happened initially was a lot of people started saying that, Devish, how can you, you know, get us deals? How can you make us invest? You know, you're too young. We will understand the ecosystem. But somehow that worked in my favor, because a lot of guys who are currently on my board, which include people from Google, PNB Paribas, etc., who are my mentor, advisor, and investor board, those guys thought that I'm pretty young and they should give me a chance. So actually that worked in my favor, and all of those guys joined hands, came on board. Then they saw quality coming in, and they have stuck around for long and referred a lot more. So that was one personal challenge that I faced and how I overcame that. The other, which I feel a lot of startups face and which even I faced in my early years, was I was the guy who was even running the show. At the same time, I was firefighting with the team as well. So there was no neutral aspect. There was no way that I could sit back and assess the situation. I was in a firefight daily myself, trying to figure out a solution, then give a neutral view, and then again firefight. So I think that created a lot of confusion, a lot of chaos, and the productivity was getting hampered. So eventually developed a system where I kept myself out of this, created a team. The team managers created a head of the team who ensures things are going in the right manner. If there is a troubleshoot, the team goes to this person. He tries to resolve it. If he can't, only then he comes to me. So I'm the last resort. And my main role was to network, to grow the business, to strategize, and to ensure that we keep scaling up. But not getting into day-to-day affairs. And I think that helped us a lot. Because while we were not doing this, there was so much of problems. And once we started doing this, we saw ourselves quadrupling every 6 months. So that's the kind of growth we saw. So I think that was another challenge, which actually works with all startups and not only in our particular case.
Fascinating. So now let's move and talk a little bit about startups. A question that is often asked, Devish, is that should a startup founder go solo or should they have a co-founder? What are your thoughts?
Very, very interesting one. So there are two ways to look at it. It majorly depends on your personality. How do you want to pull it off? In some case, in fact, in most cases, it's better to have a co-founder, because there's a sounding board, there is a team to work with, and a co-founder with complementary sales skill sets. So for example, if you're good in technology, you have a co-founder who's good in marketing. But what I've also seen in multiple cases is that there are a lot of co-founder rifts that start coming in. Because, see, as long as you're doing bad, the co-founders are good to go. As long as you're doing okay, the co-founders are good to go. The moment you start doing great, there are rifts start coming in. Because everyone wants to take the credit. And if there are no proper co-founder agreements in place, it leads to a lot of trouble. And I know multiple cases where co-founders have rifted and they and the company has just fallen like a pack of cards. In fact, one of the company, I would not like to name that, recently has raised a round of funding. And in that case, one co-founder was good in running the operations. The other was in managing the team. And the person who was managing the team, he left the company and the person who was managing operations just did not know how to manage the team now. There was a lot of attrition happening. Things were not going as per the plan. They had to hire an external person and a lot of chaos happened. And finally, things got in order and they raised the next round of funding, a very well-known company in the ecosystem. So, and this is one example. There are hundreds of such examples. So ideally, it's good to have a co-founder because there are multiple brains with complementary skill sets helping the business to grow. On the other hand, if as a personality, you feel that, you know, you would like to run the show your way and you would just need people to guide you and help you, but not have too many people, you know, just spoiling the broth, in that case, you should go solo. So according to me, it's a pure personality call that one should take and then run the show accordingly. But the moment you have investors on board, you have multiple co-founders in the form of investors there.
That is true. That is so true. So Devesh, moving on, you know, you have supported over 1,000 startups, as you told me. Based on your experience, what are the top three reasons why startups fail?
So there are actually multiple, but let me take the top three. One of them is people don't create an unfair advantage for themselves. They don't create a differentiator for themselves. It's more like a Me Too model where everybody just wants to do what the rest of the world is doing and they don't have a differentiator. They don't have something which sets them apart, which can either be a technology, which can either be an IPR, or it can be something that money just can't easily buy. Maybe loyalty towards the brand. So I feel one thing why startups are failing is because everyone wants to replicate what the others are doing and they don't create an unfair advantage. That is number one. Number two, what I feel why they are not able to succeed is also because there's not enough groundwork done. Many a time what happens is, and that happens in multiple cases, is startups think of an idea. They feel there's a solution to it and they build the solution and then they start searching for the problem around. And then they try to create a problem and then try to get the product market fit, which is happening in multiple cases. There is not a pressing problem which they're trying to solve. They find a solution and then they look for the pressing problem. So that's another reason why they aren't. And the number three is that there is not innovation happening in. Because once you've built something, you've seen success for the first 6, 9, 12 months, you feel this is how it should run. Not open to change, not open to innovation. And I think that's another reason why startups are not ready to scale up or move up, and hence they end up failing because there is no urge to pivot the model. So I think these would be the primary three reasons why I feel startups are not doing well.
The next question for you is that, you know, again, this is a question that I have been asked very often. At what stage should a startup start to scale up? You know, if you raise money from outside, there's a lot of pressure saying, you know, go pan India, pan, you know, these are all words that are thrown around. And yet the entrepreneur is always struggling. So what are your thoughts for the entrepreneur?
So I feel the time you should raise money is the time when you really want to scale up. So if initially you start your business, you pilot that. You see traction coming in. You see revenue coming in. You see repeat customers coming in. You have built that pilot in a small ecosystem. Now you feel that you can replicate this and scale this up. That's the right time to actually raise your money. What happens if you do contrary? So let me draw an analogy here with a patient. A patient who is on the ventilator, as long as the oxygen is in, he's able to survive. The moment you pull off the ventilator, he's gone. The same thing happens with a startup. If you're dependent on external funds so much that your survival depends on them, that's not the right kind of business. The right kind of business is when you're ready to scale up. And that time you need some external support. So for now, you can draw an analogy here to an athlete. So an athlete is any which is running well, but if he or she takes some supplements that acts as a catalyst to ensure the running is better. Right. But if he does not or she does not take the supplement, his running won't stop. So I feel the right time is you pilot, you create an MVP, you create a POC, and then you take your money to scale up the business.
Very interesting. The other part about money is, again, the dilemma. Should I bootstrap as long as possible, or should I raise money whenever it's available? What are your thoughts?
Again, two ways here. One is a personality thing, founder's personal thing, and the second is a business model. So for instance, I know a lot of founders, when they raise money externally, they work under tremendous pressure and are not able to do well. While they are bootstrapped and they are funding on their own, they know they can take their enough risks. They can scale up in their own manner. There is peace of mind and they can scale up better. And I've seen multiple businesses doing well. On the other hand, there is the nature of business in many cases requires to take external funding. One cannot bootstrap all the way. And external funding with some, it's basically strategic money. So external funding with someone who's also able to open doors and help you scale a business, just not dead money that comes on the table. So as I mentioned, a combination of the business model and the founder's personality, how he or she would want to take it up. So to each its own, but in most cases that I have come across, people want to raise money because the first goal of any startup starting up is to raise money, because for them, that's how they define success. But actually, if you see, I think the best way is to bootstrap for a while, be confident, and then raise money. There are two benefits. One is that you are confident of your product that you're building. Secondly, your investors see more conviction because they see the skin in the game.
Very interesting. So moving on now, you know, you also said that you encourage or you bring together potential investors and startups. What do you look for before you recommend an investment?
So, you know, actually the answer that anyone would think of would be a right business plan, how good the business is. But if you see, my 30% focus is on the business plan. My 70% is focuses on the PDF. So when I'm saying PDF, not Adobe PDF, but I look at the entrepreneur on three parameters, which is how perseverant is he, how disciplined is he, and how focused is he. So the PDF stands for perseverance, discipline, and focus. Why that's important is because I have invested in multiple startups and raised funds for multiple startups. And I've seen that it is the jockey that makes the difference and not the horse. So it's paramount or it's important that one needs to have a right team who can execute well. I'll take a minute to explain why I talked about these three parameters. So if you see, I in my first startup, which shut down before it started, which was similar to the cab model, I made 7 attempts, right? Now, if you look at Colonel Sanders, who started KFC, had 1,009 failed attempts before KFC came into being. Thomas Edison, due to which we have electricity today, had 10,000 failed experiments before he could actually get that rolling. One needs to be as perseverant as them. Usually what happens with a lot of startups is 10 attempts, 20 attempts, and one stops at it. One does not take the 21st one, 22nd one. And you never know, you might see the success in the 25th attempt. So I think being perseverant is pretty important. Number two is being very disciplined. You know, this happens in multiple startups where they get funded. Is the moment they get the first round of funding, they behave as a college student who got his first salary check and just wants to blow up the entire money. An investor has invested because he liked the way the startup was frugal, was able to scale up business with the limited means he had. But now with the funding coming on the table, the spend just goes haywire just because you see people around spending, they are spending because they have a strategy to spend. Every startup just need not just blow money. So the discipline goes for a toss. So hence, being disciplined is very important. And third is to have a laser sharp focus. Because what happens is, this happens to every entrepreneur. While you are on your path to success, you will get a lot of opportunities coming your way. It's nice to grab opportunities, but not every opportunity which might deviate you from a larger goal that you're running towards. So I think a laser sharp focus is very important. Now, having said all these three points, it's not very easy to judge someone in a meeting or so.
Correct.
So usually whenever we recommend to investors or we invest our personal money, we at least spend, say, 40 to 45 days with the entrepreneurs. Of course, when we have shortlisted and we're doubly sure that we want to go ahead, while we're getting the term sheet signed, the due diligence done, we ensure that we check on these three parameters through different methods. And once you're pretty confident, we get the SHA signed after that.
Very interesting. And my last question to you, Devesh, once you've made the investment, at what stage do you think of an exit?
I'll give you some examples and then I'll give you the answer. So I'll give you some investments that I personally made, and some, and most of the investments I also made with my fellow investors. So they were raised through Chatur Ideas platform. At the same time, I invested my personal money. So the first one company where I invested in was called Strike, based in Singapore. We loved them. We wanted to go ahead with them. We invested. And the error that we made was we did not follow up with them on how they are doing. We just get an email from them one fine day saying that, you know, we're shutting down. So we just thought that we should let you know.
Wow.
Now, so we didn't get a chance to think about the exit because we were not very hands-on to them. So that's a personal investment, not through Chatur Ideas. The second one that I'm going to talk about is through Chatur Ideas and my personal investment both, is a company called Hubilo. So Hubilo, I invested in 2016-17, and 2020, when the COVID pandemic was at its peak, he gets in touch with me. Of course, I was in touch with him throughout, but he gets in touch with me for a fundraise round where I got him connected to a few guys. And then he said that, you know what, I think I should give exit to the investors. So we worked out on the math and it was coming to 8x. So whatever we invested, 8x exit is what we're getting. Now, here the exit call came on the multiple that we could see here. And all the investors said, it's a beautiful multiple. Let's take an exit. And this guy, the way we helped him and all, wanted to now move to San Francisco, US. So he said, we'll give exit to all of you guys. And I'm moving to the US because that's where I think the future lies. So all of us took an exit at 8x. So the reason to take an exit was a good multiple. You'd be surprised to hear what happens next. We all of us feel that now we are sad about our 8x exit, which sounds so nice in a COVID time. Because 3 months after that, or I think 4 months after that, so the exit that we got was at a valuation of at a raise of $4.5 million. After 4 months, he raised another round of $23.5 million. And 6 months ago, he raised another round at $100 million.
Wow.
So our 8x would have become 100x by now if we waited for 1.5 years more.
Yeah.
But that's another point.
Right.
Third startup that I'm going to give an example where we took an exit was, so this company was into cloud service. It moved into something else. And the third venture was into cryptocurrency. Again, in 2020. Now he reached out to all of us saying that, you know, this is my third venture I'm getting into. And at that point of time, the reason we took an exit, so the logic was, we felt that, you know, the entrepreneur does not have focus. He's jumping too many guns. We should take an exit. So he said, I can return the principal back to all of you guys. And we said, fair enough. So we worked out and we got a principal back. So now in all the three examples, of course, the first, we didn't have a chance for exit. But the second one, we saw a good multiple. We took an exit. Third example, we saw that he's jumping too many guns. So it makes sense to take an exit because we don't know where he's going.
Yeah.
So the usual ways to take exit is either you get a good multiple on what you have invested. B, if you feel that, you know, maybe you need maybe if your exit can get in a bigger investor on board because you're occupying his cap table and you're reducing your equity in the company, but that equity reduction will have an addition of somebody else coming in and the value increases substantially. So then you take an exit. Okay. So there are these two, three ways that you decide when you take an exit of the investment that you do.
Very, very interesting. Devesh, on that note and your PDF philosophy of perseverance, the D was
discipline
and F is focused. Thank you so much for speaking to me. Thank you for speaking to me about Chatur Ideas and the amazing support you're giving to thousands of entrepreneurs. And thank you for taking so much time to go through so many different aspects of a startup entrepreneur's journey. Thank you. And I sincerely hope your Indicorn will lead to unicorn, and I'll be there applauding you from outside. Thank you and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the Brand Called You.